Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Timmy Did What podcast. I am your host, Cara Burrell. Today, we are missing my buddy Ryan Fisher, but he's busy plowing snow and doing hard work and man things like that. Something Tim Ballard would have no idea what to do with. So I am here on this live stream today because there's a really exciting development with so just the world kind of paying attention to the Tim Ballard case that you're here is my pet project. So there is a podcast called The Opportunist that did a 10-part in-depth series. Interviews abound with people inside the case, from Tim's victims to other insiders. And I wish I could just sit back and just listen and react to the entire podcast series with you. But what I wanted to do was create something where I take some of the clips and discuss some of the revelations and important points that they make. And what spoke to me the most was the interviews, or kind of lack of interviews, that they got from OUR's new CEO and their new representation as they have moved to Minnesota. So I'm going to play some clips and we're going to discuss. Thank you guys for being here. Intro. Was that smooth for a live stream? I'm doing this all by myself. So thank you guys for joining me today. And Tater K, hey Kara, I'm so glad to see you're getting out. Sorry, I need to turn off the music before I start trying to read. Hey Kara, I'm so glad you're getting this out for the world to see. He's as bad as the diddler. The Diddy Diddler? Yes, indeed. It's an interesting time to be talking about the problems with sex trafficking in the world right now. So let's start off by discussing one thing. OUR, they ousted Tim Ballard in around, spring, summer of 2023, because there was an external and internal investigation that so there was merit to all of these women's claims of sexual harassment, and the list of all of the things. And Tim Ballard tried to have this thing that he could play it off, like, we stepped down for conflict of interest because The Sound of Freedom came out, and I don't know, anyone really bought that at the time. But flash forward to now, a lot of the people in the world are paying attention. The New York Times had an article that we covered a while ago, and I also like getting the insight from other outsiders like the Opportunist. So I'm just going to go ahead and roll one of their very first, just a clip. So since it's an audio podcast, I had to do some maneuvering. So it's like, you'll see. But basically, what I want to first, I don't hide the bucket thing. I'm not very good at speaking on live streams very well sometimes. I'm not very good at hiding the ball. So I just am going to jump right into it. With what I think is one of the most egregious things is they reached out to the new CEO. I think her name is Tammy. Tammy and Timmy. So easy, so interchangeable. Couldn't even make this up. And when they reached out at the end of this 10-part series that they did, the journalists at The Opportunist were trying to get some clarity on what the future of OUR holds. And listen to what they say right here.
Emails. And one of the things that Tammy said in one of my emails was, the move to Minnesota is a definitive break from the past, meaning Tim Ballard, and a fresh start for the future, which, like, I get that. These are all different people. She wasn't part of the Tim Ballard era. The board wasn't part of the Tim Ballard era. Almost all of the employees that were part of the Tim Ballard era are gone. So, like, they want to continue doing the so-called good work of OUR rescue and sort of break from the Tim Ballard era. And they even said, like, they told us, like, we don't condone this. We're not doing the couple's ruse anymore. They want to basically focus on the future. And Andrew and I said that was perfectly fine. We are going to have to ask some questions about the past, though. And I think the question that most bothered them that we said we wanted to ask was, is there a joint defense fund? Is there joint defense resources for Tim Ballard and OUR going forward? Meaning, is any of the money that is going to OUR today, helping pay for Tim Ballard's defense? And that was the one question where they wouldn't answer. And that was sort of the last question. And that was sort of where the conversation felt like it took a real turn. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, I think it was a positive dialogue up until that point. And I think obviously, you know, the answer that to that question can have a big bearing on their ability to fundraise moving forward.
Yeah, you think? So I'll just pause there for a second. What we're talking about is OUR trying to rebrand. They're trying to change their name. They're moving to Minnesota. They're telling journalists, anyone inquiring, hey, that is the Tim Ballard era. Nobody who worked here works here now, worked here then. We have changed our ways, but they are still fundraising off of the quote unquote work that Tim Ballard did, the numbers that Tim Ballard accrued to say that he's saved up to 7,000 children. I'm going to get to what their website still says. They still want to profit off of everything that Tim Ballard did with his misconduct and have the gall to say that all we do is we disavow that era. Pretty much that's it. They're not saying any specifics. They're not standing up for the women, other things I'm going to get into. But the new OUR is still trying to take all of that platforming that Tim Ballard mishandled to even be able to accrue that kind of, you know, hero status. And this organization is still able to profit off of without actually acknowledging what went wrong. And then all the way down to when they ask, is the money that you're fundraising right now, does any of that go into a Tim Ballard defense fund? They will not answer that. So I'm going to get into all the other reasons why that is so disgusting and so important. But one main one is that we're an anti-sex trafficking organization. Oh no, people got sex trafficked under our leadership, under this same umbrella, Celeste Boris, Carol Lynch, all the different women off of the lawsuit who literally got sex trafficked for Tim Ballard's sexual gratification. There's open lawsuits and criminal investigations in not just Utah, but all around the country and all around the world. These are real serious things. And for OUR to still say that they can just disavow that without actually standing up for the women, saying what happened was wrong, we support them. It's almost like, you know, you could just shut down the entire organization and say, this is an actual horrible name to be trying to profit off of, because you can still go on their website and it still says 7,000 kids saved. And this is what our operations are doing with never, you know, same thing as the church, obviously, never actually acknowledging the harm and wrongdoing and trying to make it right. And the fact that Tim Ballard, I have my sources who have told me these are things that I have been told by people close to the case, but I can't like pull up any necessary proof for you around this moment. But that Tim Ballard had all kinds of lawyers that were costing him like hundreds of thousands of dollars a day, like a whole entire legal defense team, that they've run out of money and they've run out of patience is what I've been told. So thank you guys so much for being in this live stream. Yes, I'm live. I'm not always cool and calm as collected as I am when I'm edited, but I appreciate you guys being here and becoming a member of my channel really helps out a lot. If you haven't noticed, I've been a little bit absent. Both me and Ryan have had some family things to attend to, mostly trying to make money in the real world. And it really helps to get any super chats and my donor box and my Venmo and my Patreon for the Timmy Tobit podcast are down below. So if you want to support this content, we have some more interviews coming out in the future. It just depends on when these really important people would like to speak. So I'm going to finish up listening to a little bit more of what they have to say. But basically, they've rebranded. And OUR still remains evasive about whether current resources are tied to defending Tim Ballard. Obviously, transparency, what is that? Who needs it? But, you know, that you'd think that the organization would want to turn over a new leaf and be like, we're not like that at all. It's still got all of the lingering problems as before, you guys.
So you can imagine that if there is some involvement in funding Tim Ballard's legal defense, that's problematic. You mentioned that the OUR organization at this point, there's nobody there still that is sort of still left over from the old regime. On some level, that should make sort of their conversation and their dialogue with the media a lot easier, because it's simple. Look, there's nobody here that was involved in that before We're all trying to move forward. We can address some stuff in the past. They know that's coming. And you're right. That was when the tone shifted.
One of the things that we talked about was, because all of the people today at OUR Rescue were not there under Tim Ballard, it was going to be a really easy conversation for them. I remember we had this conversation, was that basically like, they're going to be able to say, like, we don't condone his actions. We condemn it. And we're about the future. And that's literally all we thought they were going to say.
And I would think you would want to take that opportunity to address people who have donated or would possibly donate and clear the air.
Right. And we don't know if any money is going. I mean, they didn't answer the question. It was the only answer they didn't give. And
then it's interesting. Tell me what you guys think about this, because then they go on to say that consulting with other lawyers who are familiar with this space, right? Like, first of all, the CEO, she sounds very media trained, unlike me. And she's, you know, hiding back her true intentions and true feelings. That's what CEOs do, right? But and they go on in this podcast to explain that it's possible from like a legal standpoint that anything that like their CEO, Tim Ballard, did under their name, even if he's ousted from the corporation, that he and they are still responsible as a joint team to create a legal fund from the finances, from OUR, from donations to still, you know, help in his legal defense, because upholding his good name is also upholding their good name. And that just leads me to like, how about not? How about this was started under false pretenses from the very get-go, from everything that we know about Tim Ballard, lying about his actual involvement with human trafficking, lying about being a prophet. But, you know, the entire inception of OUR began on such false pretenses to bring camera crews into places to create this myth for Tim Ballard. So he looks like this awesome, heroic, Christ-like, Rocky, actually I meant to say Rambo, same difference kind of figure. The entire myth that Tim Ballard made, that OUR, oh sorry, it's called, they changed it to Operation Underground Rescue. I still don't know, but I'm still calling it, you know, it's a fraud nonetheless. If they are still trying to profit off of that, I guess, like, yeah, your money should go to the legal defense of the guy. That's only right because you're profiting off of him. But wait a second, don't the donors need to know that? When you go to the page, it doesn't say exactly where the money is going, how many kids are rescued, what the money is allocated for. If I was a donor and I wanted to save sex trafficked kids, I can't imagine after everything that's happened to be like, yeah, sign over that check to OUR. That's my extra tithing for the month. So I'm going to move on to one other clip.
Emails. And one of the things.
Anyone ever knows how to live stream better than me? You're welcome to it. So then that leads to this idea about aftercare. So much of OUR has to do with we're saving sex trafficked kids. Great job. We would love that. But shouldn't those kids be somewhere? Shouldn't they be speaking up? And I have always said that I will change my mind on this if the evidence is presented. I have just never seen anyone really step forward to say that they were rescued by OUR, by Tim Ballard, in the ways that he has taken their stories and said that he's rescued certain kids. And if that was true, wouldn't they have a very robust aftercare, you know, system to make sure that these kids do not repeat these cycles and just go back into this horrible life of sex trafficking? I have spoken personally through DMs with people who have had people in their life who have been the victims of sex trafficking or different, you know, horrible types of related crimes and have sought the help of OUR before. And all they did was just send them like a link to another organization that actually offers aftercare. And they're like, oh, I thought that's what you guys did. They're like, no, we just farm that out. Everything I see always points back to people who, you know, like the women, like the victims in this case, they don't have like money necessarily that they can give to OUR, but they can give their time, talents, and resources to the Church of Tim Ballard of Latter-day Saints. So here's an interesting clip where they're talking about aftercare. Again, this is interesting to me because it's a bunch of, you know, outsiders, people who probably don't have any ties to the Mormon Church, and just kind of what their take is on this.
High profile.
I don't think the governments of the world, for whatever they were doing or not doing, I don't think that Ballard's story changes everything, right? you still have a massive effort at the U.S. government and even state and locals to combat child trafficking, trafficking in general, you know, sex crimes and things like that. In some ways, it goes back to a little bit of a conversation we had last week, which is there really a need for private organizations to be doing these type of paramilitary operations? You know, maybe they'd be better off raising awareness and helping with aftercare. And I think that's one of the things that's really interesting is several of the women we interviewed, they all signed up because they wanted to help the kids that were rescued. They didn't really care about the operations themselves. They sort of saw that as like, oh, let the professionals do that. I really want to help with the aftercare. And that's one of the things we've heard is like, there just doesn't seem to be as much an emphasis on the aftercare as there is or as there was under Tim Ballard with the sort of the guns and the body armor and the raids and stuff like that, the operations. And what Celeste and Kira and others, I think, signed up for is they really wanted to help those children after the fact. And maybe that's a better place for a group like OUR to be operating in as opposed to being the paramilitary organization that they were under Tim Ballard, essentially.
Well, I'm just going to pause it there. This is a time for live stream feedback or leaving it in the comment section below if you're watching this later. I, like I said, am I of the opinion you guys should probably just shut it down, stop trying to make money and profit off of something that from its inception was a lie. But if you had to, you need to do what's best for the children and like you're doing right by your donors. And the closest thing I can think of that is the safest thing is just providing aftercare support, whether that's housing, material goods, therapy, you know, integration back into society, things like that. That seems like the safest route that OUR could possibly take. Stop with the paramilitary stuff, going into different countries, stop filming it, stop trying to be these badasses. You guys already went through that and we know that you guys cannot be trusted. It just is better to leave those kinds of things to law enforcement. I know Tim Ballard says, like, how dare you dictate what kind of rescue a child needs? And therefore, you know, these vigilante groups rise up. There just isn't the amount of oversight. That is what we have seen. That's what's been proven when we're talking about things that are as dangerous and risky as, yes, cartels and trafficking in children. It is just too easy. My big point. It is just too freaking easy to exploit and profit off of the narratives that an organization like OUR can create about the trafficking industry, which is the most horrible thing in the world. So this doesn't get any worse than that. You take the most horrendous crime that can be done to a person and think, how can I make money off of this problem, this idea, exposing it but not doing anything about it, to fundraise and to profit to the tune of millions of dollars to Tim Ballard. That has already been a proven faulty organization and premise, this vigilante thing. Don't do it. If a brand new organization that had nothing to do with Tim Ballard started up tomorrow, we should all be suspicious because of the model that these vigilantes like Tim Ballard have shown. It's very, very profitable. Not a lot of checks and balances. So OUR is maybe aftercare is the best thing that it could do. I still don't know how it would get funded and pay for itself because I don't know, once you've been, it's like Bernie Madoff is running a new investment bank or something. Like, it's like, oh, isn't that guy that's, yeah, but this new one's great. I don't think so, guys. Thank you guys so much again for your super chats. Christmas time is coming, and I love to be able to fund my children's presents. Thank you for bringing this monster to light. I do my best, and thank you so much. Power Ranger Tea Time, I want to be joining that. Just hopped on. I think the new OUR CEO lady is from Minnesota. Well, that's a much easier accent to do. So let me finish. Thank you so much for the super chats, guys. It's means the world to me. And where's the sizzle? That's for them to create with their actual rescues and not from videotaping things that didn't actually happen. All right, let me play a little bit more of this and they get into a quote from Sasha, I believe.
it kind of makes you wonder, is there no aftercare because there are no children that they're actually procuring on these missions? I mean,
the accusation by Robert Gierke and Damian Moore, who's the journalist who's done a lot of research, and there's a couple other journalists who've done a lot of research. That's the accusation, is that there aren't that many kids being rescued in these operations.
Yeah, I think the woman actually said as much in some of their interviews. Where are the children? How can I help with the children?
Here's what Sasha had to say on this.
I wanted to know what was happening if we rescued any kids. So I kept
high profile.
All right, I'm a moron and I
don't think
things
the governments of the world, for whatever they were doing, Damian Moore was.
Where are the children? How can I help with the children?
Here's what Sasha had to say on this.
I wanted to know what was happening if we rescued any kids. So I kept texting him, hey, what's the status of our mission? Are there any kids that have been rescued? No, no, no. So after 2 years of me asking, I just stopped asking because there was no kids. There was no updates. There was no nothing.
Which, if you watch The Sound of Freedom, that couldn't be further from... like, if you watch The Sound of Freedom, the number of children that Tim Ballard is rescuing is just endless.
Right.
Yeah, they should be up to their necks in aftercare. They should be.
I love watching. Tell me what you guys think, because you know how I talk about Tim Ballard with my sassy little takes. And it's fun watching like people who've like went to school for journalism be very professional about it. They should be up to their necks. And I'm over here being like, where are the freaking kids? I want answers right now, MF-er. I'm a very professional podcast. Trust me. It's a one woman show over here. Yeah. So I think they bring up a great point that it does make you wonder if there's no aftercare because there are no children that they actually rescued during these missions. I've watched speeches of Tim Ballard speaking at Book of Mormon Evidence conferences where he doesn't think anyone's going to watch him, but I'm on his tail. And he'll put up, you know, these big houses that they've bought or rented in like Central or South America and pictures of all of these kids having a dinner and stuff after a rescue. And if I was sitting in the audience, yeah, I'd be like, wow, okay, I see the house. I see the kids eating. It kind of adds to the conspiracy of like, how freaking messed up are you? Because everyone within the OUR said that there's just not really any aftercare. Did you not buy the house like you said you did? Did you not set up this aftercare center in like, I don't know, El Salvador or whatever? Like, are you just showing us these pictures because that adds to the story, but you're like actually that psychotic that doesn't even exist? Like, I'm the biggest Tim Ballard critic out there and stuff, but even I'm like, is that the lengths that you're going to? Like that they're lying about aftercare to this point? Oh, $20. Thank you so much. Power Ranger Tea Time said, I got a roll. My office just busted out a hot chocolate bar. Come back anytime. I'll be here. But keep up the good work and keep up these lives. Thanks. I am trying to. Appreciate you so much. That really does help out the channel a lot. Goes a long way. Couldn't be more grateful. There's 10 episodes, again, of this Opportunist series. I would love to go through as much as you guys just want to sit here and hang out with me to talk about, but I did clip out some certain things. And those were episodes from episode 10, where they do kind of a round table with all their journalists talking about what their final thoughts are. It's really good. And they take some clips and from their previous episodes. So right here, this is episode 1, and it starts off with Celeste Boris, who I have met a couple times and got to embrace and hug her. And that is Celeste is Tim Ballard's executive assistant, went on many of these couple ruse operations with Tim. And she's the one who has DNA on her skirt. Do I need to say more? So the first episode is just dedicated to her story. And wow, they do a good job. It's listening to a documentary. I should just retire. They do a fantastic job. So I just wanted to play a little bit of this. And this just kind of sets the stage for the systemic nature of Tim Ballard's alleged abuse, underscoring the scale and persistence of his predatory behavior under the guise of anti-trafficking missions.
After Tim Ballard left the anti-trafficking organization OUR in 2023, it was renamed OUR Rescue. Its new leaders say they do not condone Tim Ballard's alleged actions while part of the old organization.
I was molested and sexually assaulted by Tim in 4 different states, 5 different countries, in the span of 10 months. Tim manipulated and abused and brainwashed me to a point where I didn't know left from right and right from wrong.
He has ruined so many people's lives. As big as that, like, my heart was for the mission, and I would do anything for the mission, like, as far as wanting to save kids, not anything. Like, I should stop not say that, because what it got me in.
Celeste Borries told me her first one-on-one with Tim Ballard was intense. She was working with Operation Underground Railroad, now known as OUR Rescue, or OUR for short, which was an organization that Ballard began in 2013 with the stated goal of rescuing children around the world from sex trafficking. So naturally, the stakes were high, but even under those circumstances, Ballard really laid it on thick. Celeste was in her office working late when Ballard burst in, slamming the door behind him. He told her that he had asked God who could help him pull off one of his dangerous undercover operations. And he told her that he then saw her face. It must be a sign. They were meant to work together to help free children from enslavement. When someone says that God has hand-chosen you to save children's lives, how do you say no? So, of course, she said yes. At that moment, there was no way for her to know what would happen when she and Ballard began working together more closely. There was no way for her to know the ways that Ballard would completely take over her life. And there was no way for her to know how he would take advantage of her trust in one of the most heinous ways imaginable.
So I'll just pause it there for a second. So as you can see, very professional podcast, just 2% better than the one you're listening to right now. They do a great job. So interviews like this, hopefully coming in the future, things are a little bit precarious with Tim Ballard can very easily sue me and Ryan if he felt like it. So we kind of have to let bigger organizations take care of that. And things will be coming out in the future. Might have to slow down a little bit. But anyway, just wanted to put that out there. My dedication to this case will be ongoing for probably years to come. But they do a fantastic job and interview Celeste and tell more of her story. If you've listened to somebody mentioned that like they listened to it and they already knew everything because they watch my reporting on it. Reporting is such a nice, generous word. Thank you so much. But yeah, if you listen to the lawsuits, it repeats a lot of the same things that I've mentioned, that the lawsuits have come out when they're amended and so forth. But the amount of investigation that they go into in storytelling is absolutely fantastic. And then I could stay here all day listening to it with you.
After Tim Ballard left the
I don't know how to live stream properly. I kid. And then, but this is a really heartbreaking part of this. As I mentioned before, OUR has some explaining to do. If they're an anti-sex trafficking organization, what then happens when they're embroiled in these lawsuits? And one of the main claims is that they were sex trafficked under their employment for OUR. How do you recover from that? You know, like the thing that you're not supposed to be doing, but you're actually doing. So this is a really heartbreaking clip that just kind of, yeah, underscores that again from Celeste. This is from episode 10.
I'm so angry because I worked at OUR for so long before Tim got a hold of me. And like, they were my friends, right? Like I made relationships with these people. They were supposed to protect me. And I literally feel like they trafficked me to Tim so Tim could traffic me around several countries and several states. And they still aren't taking responsibility for it. And I'm like, I don't want anything from you other than just to acknowledge that that's so wrong. That's so wrong. You can't do this to people. And the thing is so hurtful that they knew what he was doing. They knew he had done this in the past And they still allowed him to work with women. They still allowed him to work with me. And they knew who I was. I was their employee. I was their friend.
They all knew that he had done it before to different women. And so that's part of what she felt was so hurtful, is that people that she trusted, including Tim, including all these, a couple other people that are involved in the federal case, like Michael Polenta, right? Matt Cooper, you know, those people all knew. So it is interesting that OUR is kind of off the hook in some ways, because those people who worked for OUR perpetuated harmful practices.
We'll be right back.
No, we won't. We're still here. Yeah. And that is one thing that's really hard for me to also grasp, how many people just left people like Celeste out hanging when they would complain or when they'd come up with the lawsuits, where Tim Ballard's over here saying these people are lying. We don't even know who these women are. They work for the sex traffickers, when he knows who they are. Catherine, his wife, knows who they are. All of OUR knows who they are. Davis County investigators know who they are. Like, probably the LDS Church too. To be so abandoned and so alone when you're telling some of the most humiliating, devastating parts of your life and these different traumatic things that you went through with, her whole world is flipped upside down. And it just goes to show the character of OUR then and now. What is really the difference? Tim Ballard isn't there, but he's left his slime and his sludge all over it. It's still a slimy organization, is it not? Well, may I continue? Then this is another interesting thing that they brought up that I've noticed. Again, it's interesting to get an outsider's perspective, because they were mentioning in this podcast how he really acts like he just wanted to be an influencer. And I'm like, you know, an influencer for God, an influencer like prophet influencer, like authoritarian kind of dogmatic influencer, but an influencer nonetheless. But about the amount of times that he's on social media bragging about the rescues that they are going to do or that they have done, which is always something that would, yeah, raise a lot of red flags. And Tim, it's so disgustingly on previous videos that we've covered, where he has probably drunkenly been smearing people like Sasha and different women who went on these couples ruse missions with him, where he's saying, now we can't rescue as many kids because you outed us 2 years later about something that we didn't even be involved saving kids with. So it's all about the narrative, and then any opportunity he can to slam the women and get his audience of like flying monkeys to go and scream at, you know, these victims who have been through enough. Despicable all around. OUR, current one, Tammy, what have you been doing? You've been sleeping on this? It's not like they don't know. They have all the resources in the world to put out some kind of statement to say, if you're for sex trafficking, or if you're for the, you know, ending of sex trafficking, join us in our fight against Tim Ballard and his demeaning behavior against all of these women who also tried to stop sex trafficking. Of course, they don't do that. So Tim Ballard, somebody needs to take away his phone and his alcohol, I think. All right. So this is kind of funny. Tim Ballard's operations were so publicized. It's laughable. That's.
Well, and let me use sort of a much lesser analogy. All of us in this conversation, to some extent, have done some investigative reporting in our careers, right? Investigative reporting does not mean calling the first name and the first phone number you find and saying, hey, what's going on with this thing? There's a process of like developing the resources, developing the contacts, making the right phone call to the right person at the right time, the right way. Like, none of that occurred with him, it seems, when it came to these kinds of operations.
That reminds me, Andrew, can I get the number of your psychic?
I honestly think all of us have put more effort into finding the right information for these scripts than Tim Ballard ever did into figuring out how to bust a trafficking ring. And going back to what you were saying, Sarah.
Yeah, so they get a little bit sassy. I have put more effort into piecing together this tangled web that he's been weaving than he ever did to like Google how to end sex trafficking. One of my favorite quotes from Tim is from, he was on Glenn Beck program a couple years ago, And he tells like this origin story for how he started OUR. And he's like, you know, I just didn't have any resources. Like, I'm put in this position in Homeland Security. And it's just like, this is back in like, you know, 2003 or whatever. And he's like, there just was no resources. Like, people had never even heard of sex trafficking. And then you just go on Google, type in the word sex trafficking, put the years between like 2002 and 2003. And there's 17,000 search results that come up. Like, he's just like, there was nothing. So I had to go to the Bible. And then I had to go to my U.S. history books about how, you know, we abolished slavery back then. And that those were my two guidebooks and a psychic, you know. So just his way of obfuscating the truth to an audience, like, I don't know who would literally be like, yeah, like back then, who would have thunk? Well, what do? You grab a psychic, you grab your Book of Mormon, and you go out with a bunch of camera crews and tell a bunch of kids to meet at an island and film it. Like, that's like, haters gonna hate. Like, that's how you do it. Like, anyway, so hilarious point that, you know, if you're in the FBI, imagine being the FBI and they're just posting on social media all the time that, like, nabbed this guy, we're heading down to El Salvador, you bad guys better watch out, we're about to get you. Like, this is all part of the myth making. Poor Timmy. What do you
been up to, and let me use sort of.
So this is the graphic that I told you I was going to show earlier. If I knew how to make things full screen, you better believe I would. Here we go. So this is taken from OUR's website today. This is ridiculous. 4,000 predators arrested. I wish. 6,000 plus survivors supported in your dreams. 1,000 plus operations supported in your wildest fantasies. But all the different places to make money in the world, apparently trying to profit off of the atrocity that is child sex trafficking, is still something OUR is doing. And that's why I named this The Secrets That OUR Doesn't Want You to Know About Tim Ballard. The things that they are not going to publicly condone, acknowledge, to their detriment, I hope, with the videos like this. So I compiled as long of a list that I could right now. I'm going to go through of all of the things, not all of them, just as many as I can get through right now, of ways in which OUR, if it actually wanted to be a legitimate organization after ousting Tim Ballard, some of the things they'd have to talk about, come clean on, acknowledge. So we went over Tim Ballard's legal defense fund, and this is obviously leading to a cloud of suspicion if they're funneling money towards Tim Ballard's defense fund. Also, I have videos probably just on my Patreon about Tim Ballard at his stake in Lehi or Saratoga Springs, holding he's still trying to suckle at the teat of the Mormon church that he's been kicked out and fundraise from his local supporters in the Mormon community. But besides that, people, if they really think he's innocent, okay, fine, give your money. But an OUR, you know, fund that's already gone, they've already been accused or proven somewhere in between there, I've already reported on $1.5 million of OUR's donor money has already gone to the straight up funding of Tim's prostitutes. So we have that. That's hopefully in the past. But then from this point forward, if you don't think Tim's innocent, should you still be giving money to OUR? But that transparency, that's definitely not something they're willing to be out in the open about, according to, you know, the journalists who were asking Tammy. And then another one is failure to support the survivors of trafficking. Like we've mentioned, this aftercare support, where is it? Literally everyone who's worked there that I've talked to that has been interviewed is like, where are these kids? There's the misrepresentation of these rescue numbers. There's absolutely no evidence for this 6,000 plus number, but it does work out very well with fundraising. There's a continuation of all kinds of harmful practices. And the idea that just because Tim's not there anymore, they're on the up and up and nothing should raise any suspicions, you'd have to kind of show proof of that because of how many millions of dollars you've accrued and the amount of trust that's been broken, something that they're probably going to have to rebuild. But acknowledging the couple's arrears would probably come first, acknowledging the pain and suffering of the victims of Tim Ballard and other people within the organization that the organization enabled would have to come first, second, followed by what they're replacing that with, what their actual tactics are, how they actually investigate and find their intel. It's like, so we used psychics before. That was dumb. That was bad. Here is our actual intelligence. Now you can trust us. It's going to take, turn on a camera crew and speak directly into the camera, Tammy. I would listen to you on that one. Failure to distance themselves meaningly from Tim Ballard. Again, they're trying to rebrand, but without honestly trying to acknowledge the things that have happened, especially this victim blaming culture that's really important that they get into in these episodes. There's a quote, I think, from Celeste where she says that she's just faced all kinds of allegations of being the worst person in the world. Or when you're talking about like kids, when you're trying to brand yourself as saving kids from sex trafficking, we all understand that those are innocent as innocent can be. But then women who are sex trafficked within this type of culture that OUR already kind of profits off of, they don't have an understanding of how sex trafficking actually happens in the real world and how to combat it, let alone how to not victim blame while they're doing it. So you combine that with the women in the couple's ruse who are tied up in these things, like they were going to know that while doing all these things that Tim had them do that would be, you know, causing them trauma to their detriment, putting their lives at risk, and they're up for sexual assaults of their own while they're trying to do these things. All of that was going to be wrapped in a big bow of, if you ever speak out, well, it's your fault. We're blaming you now. You should have known better. People have such a wide misunderstanding about how women especially can be groomed and manipulated. And if you're not willing to start there and listen to how that even happens in the first place, and you just think it's a problem in, like, you know, South America or some other country they just throw money at, like, my point is, more important than the money to combating this issue is like listening and understanding and empathizing instead of victim blaming that goes all across the board in this. So, yeah, misrepresentation of how trafficking victims become trafficked in this good versus evil story that actually undermines legitimate anti-trafficking efforts, that just creates confusion, that creates fear mongering, and all tie to a central hero figure with Tim Ballard. That's where I, again, with what I just said, people could have been more aware from the beginning about, so let me rephrase that. People who, let's say, saw the Sound of Freedom movie and were inspired to do something probably should have seen everything about that movie as a red flag, but specifically the centralization of money, resources, fame, and hero worship in this character of Tim Ballard to honestly do nothing but release a movie about himself without actually caring about what comes after these supposed children have been rescued and what operations actually go into rescuing the kids. That should have been a gigantic red flag, that such a central, like, that we as a culture just want a hero, we want a savior. And not only can that power be abused like it has been, but what does that say about ourselves? So, like, if Tim Ballard erased tomorrow and another person rose up, I hope we would learn our lesson that people like that need to have some checks and balances to be questioned, because that much power and influence to be able to say, this is how we do our operations. If you're not with us, you're against us. I know what I'm doing. I was an intern at the CIA. Like, if that kind of hero figure rose up again, well, he's going to be president soon, but any other ones, probably time to look back in our history books and say, seen this, been there, done that. Again, with the secrets that OUR does not want out right now, it's their lack of oversight and vetting that occurred all throughout Tim Ballard's tenure at OUR. Any proof that has changed, that they are doing the things that they say they're doing and also have the type of skilled professionals who can go into these places and rescue these kids without causing more harm than they've already accrued if you're a kid in that kind of hellhole already. there's just a profit motive to keep profiting off of the legacy that Tim Ballard has built without acknowledging and trying to fess up and reduce the harm that he's caused. So like Celeste said, she herself was, you know, sex trafficked and brought to all these different countries. She's spiritually manipulated. And the control tactics that were used, Tim Ballard, he in this episode, he talks about, in the first episode with Celeste, talks about that if she ever left, that he'd like threatened to commit suicide. And there's another episode with Bree Ryder, who's the former Marine and social worker who had her orbital bone knocked in. That's another really good episode. Again, I'd love to cover all this stuff in detail. And it's another really heartbreaking story about how much Tim Ballard, that's just like his MO. He has a lot of lackeys, a lot of people working for him that are willing to cover up these things, like her getting her bone kicked in and other just things that just should never have happened because there's absolutely no oversight. But one thing I think is interesting that Brie mentions in that episode, because of her background, she's like, this person has like a psychopathy issue. Like, she's like, I got back from these missions and I talked to the leaders at OUR and said, I'm not doing another mission with Tim Ballard. A, because he just like Googled a bunch of stuff. Our intel sucked. And then the second one is that he's not right in the head. He's not doing so well upstairs. And she describes how the, you know, CEO or whatever, the leaders at OUR at the time that she spoke to about this like major concern, they're just like, yeah, that's just Tim. And we're just trying to help him like stay out of his way. And so he doesn't, you know, hurt himself too much, but yeah, that's pretty much how it goes right now. And she's like, defuh. That's the story I keep hearing over and over again. Anytime somebody would bring up complaints, everyone's just really complacent. And she's like, yeah, and that's it. Tim's going to fire me if I try to stand up to him. So no. We'll actually fire all of you guys and, you know, completely run and put our head in the sand and deny that anything bad ever happened if you speak out. But yeah, I mean, I know it. I'm in this business for money and clout. I'm not in it for actually helping people. That's what they would say, unfortunately. So other things on my list, the spiritual manipulation that we've spoke about and everything to do with to the highest degrees of evidence of sexual assault. So in case you didn't know, the natural climax, for lack of a better word, I wish I didn't choose that word, but the natural peak escalation of this is going to end up with somebody being sexually assaulted, as is the case with Kira and with Celeste. And Celeste actually does have DNA from Tim on her skirt. And that's something where Tim is denied that anything improper has ever happened. He maintains the highest standards at all times. But with the Utah County Crime Lab matching the DNA to Tim, and you know what I mean by DNA, that kind of stuff is just evidence of at least Tim not obeying his couple's ruse promises, and at the most evidence that an assault did occur. So as this goes through the court system and this lawsuit and this trial comes out, more and more evidence and more things I'll be able to show you. There's other things I have to keep my lips sealed on for now. But as me and Ryan reported on just a couple of weeks back, that there was a hearing that Celeste won. Woo! We are very proud of her. And it was the thing where they say, stay away from me. One of those. The words aren't coming to me right now. So I need a co-host. protection order, that's what it's called. It's kind of like a mini trial. And hearing the reports back from the people there who were in the courtroom, it sounded like a mini trial where they had, you know, people from Tim's side and people from Celeste's side and all of the evidence. And they were able to have this gigantic hearing. And at the end of the day, the judge ruled that Tim Ballard is a threat, that Celeste is a credible victim, credible witness. Tim Ballard, you better stay away. Protection order was held up. He had to get lost. And also, he's not allowed to have any firearms for the next, I think, 3 years. So that bodes very well for how the case is going to go in the future with the lawsuit. So that was a huge win. Good job, Celeste. We love you so much for that. So really, really proud of the women in this case who have been able to speak out from the beginning and also put their voices out there on this podcast. And they have to be very picky and choosy with the type of podcast that they speak out on. We're friends. We're good. We text. They tell me they love me all the time. So they don't need to come on my podcast before they're ready to. We still have some tweaks we got to do, you know, going to college first or whatever. But I'm really, really excited that this podcast is out there with the opportunists. So if you get an opportunity, absolutely listen to it. The links will be down below in the description of this video to go check it out. They do a fantastic job on that. So other than that, I'm just going to wrap up this podcast by saying that I'm so appreciative that you guys still follow my channel, and I'm going to be doing my Timmy Did What podcast as much as I can. Ryan and I are people who do not come from means. We are trying to figure out how to make money in our real life and also do this and, you know, try to support our families and make money any way that we can at this, knowing that it's a very niche subject, but we do our best. So when the money is there and the Patreon support is there, we're going to keep cranking out stuff as long as we can. So if you joined us on Patreon, please stick there. We're going to keep having more exclusive stuff for you guys in the future. Appreciate your guys' support so, so much. And then for my YouTube channel and my Nuance Ho like brand and all of that stuff, I've kind of gone back and forth about what kind of interaction I want to have with the ex-Mormon space. I don't feel like I really made an ex-Mormon video since I kind of closed my first season of my Mormon History Hoedown podcast in May before I went to go work at the summer camp. Since then I've gotten divorced, and since then we have to like sell our house and do a bunch of stuff that just takes a lot of time and a lot of grieving and a lot of time spent with my kids, and my priorities are a little bit all over the place. But I absolutely love being able to turn on a camera and speak things out into the world that I think are important and useful. And so if you appreciate whether this podcast or the other kind of information that I do in like the ex-Mormon space, I'm always down to have a conversation about that. You can email me. My links are below. If there's a video that you want to see. Again, I'm trying to figure out since May kind of what kind of videos I want to make. I've gotten back into doing stand-up comedy. So that's what's made me really happy lately, is writing jokes and trying to keep things as fun and positive as possible and talk about more of the healing and growth and stuff I've learned in the last 4 years since I left the church. So if that kind of content interests you and you have not subscribed to my channel yet, that button is looking pretty thirsty. Go ahead and press it. So a subscribing, a liking, a joining my Patreon, either the Timmy Did What one or my Hoedown one, all are very appreciated. I have the ability to talk appreciated. And just going to keep chucking away at life and hopefully provide something useful and meaningful and fun. I have an interview I just finished with my friend Adam Broud, who I think is the best stand-up comedian in Utah. Don't argue with me. And a couple other episodes on Timmy Did What, about fraud, about just a generally talking about why Mormons are so susceptible to fraud, full piece that I have investigated and have that about ready to film and put that out. So, and then another episode that's for my Mormon History Hoedown podcast. Two podcasts, one girl. It's a busy life over here. So thank you guys again so much for chilling with me today on this live stream. Hope that was well worth your time. Thank you so much, Daniel, for the super sticker. Any support I get means the world to me. And I will catch you guys very, very soon. Another episode of Timmy Did What? Tammy.